In this video, I'm sharing three things I learned from Seth Godin's book, What to Do When It's Your Turn, and It's Always Your Turn. And this is a book that he wrote for us saying that you can level up and you can do work that will be missed after you're gone. On the cover of the book, he put a portrait of Annie Kenney, who was from the working class in the UK, and she spoke up. She, in Seth's words, she caused a ruckus. And because of that ruckus, it was kind of a flashpoint for the women's suffrage movement. And he's saying that this is a book for everyone to kind of know it's your turn. It's time to do the work that you're hiding from and to be okay with being uncomfortable with the results. The first thing that I learned from this book was that there's no such thing as writer's block. Now that might come as a little bit of a surprise. That's something that we've always accepted to be true. But he says that when it comes to doing the work that we're supposed to do, when it's time to write, you write. You have to have that habit in place. You can't wait for inspiration or the right mood or the right environment or the right moment. Those things won't happen. And when we say that we're waiting for that inspiration or we're waiting for that motivation, that's actually a way of hiding from the work that we're supposed to do. You have to have a system in place. You have to have a way of doing the work that you have the opportunity to do, that you're obligated to do, but you have to show up and you have to do it regularly. When we seek out motivation, really what we're looking for is we're looking for reassurance. We're looking for something to tell us that, yes, this is the right time to do it. But the reality is there's going to be discomfort in doing things on a habitual or a consistent basis. Chuck Close said motivation is for amateurs. Professionals have to get up and they have to just continue to work regardless of the situation. The second thing I learned from this book was the idea of invented suffering. And now Seth says that there's different ways that we invent suffering for ourselves. One is the anxiety of failure before we even start. So when we embark on, you know, trying to do work that we know we should be doing or any kind of venture, we're held back because we're afraid of what might go wrong. Like, well, if I do this, if I put this out, then this is going to happen, or people are going to say this, or this will happen. And we start to have anxiety and literally suffering over something that hasn't happened yet. But let's say we cross that barrier and we do our best. We put out that work. Well, then the next thing that happens is we start to have this entitlement factor that, okay, I overcame these hurdles and I really put something out and now I need immediate gratification. I need immediate validation that what I did was liked and that it was well received and all these different things. But you have to be comfortable with knowing that that might not happen. Sometimes results will be uncomfortable, but that doesn't prevent you from doing the work that you're supposed to do. When things don't go our way, the easiest thing to do is to say, well, you know what? I gave it a shot. I overcame my fears. I tried to put something out. It didn't work, and I'm not going to do it again. And we give up. But the theme of the book, that it's always your turn, means that you have to keep showing up regardless of that outcome. When it's your turn, that means that it's your responsibility, and things are going to be your fault. And that creates a little bit of a tension. And we have to kind of, in his words, we have to be able to dance with that tension. Because if we don't, all that it does is create resistance, and that resistance keeps us from doing the work that we should be doing or that we're hiding from. The third thing that I learned was what separates good students from bad students. Seth Godin said that in his lifetime of teaching, he's been able to distill down one characteristic that really separates the good students from the bad students. And he said it's thirst. It's the ability for someone to show up and just simply say, teach me. I want to learn. And when they fail, when there's a setback, they just see it as an iteration. Okay, that didn't work. Let me try something else. But he said the bad student is the one that has to be marketed to. They show up and they say, well, is this on the exam? Am I going to be graded on this? You know, do I have to learn this part? And so you almost have to sell them on what you're going to teach them. And then that just ends up creating a lot of frustration. In order to succeed, you have to have a thirst for learning. And the way that we create that thirst for learning is with good habits. It's habitually asking why. Is focusing on the process of learning, not the outcomes of what we gain with that knowledge. And really, this is kind of the theme. When it's your turn, it means having those habits of learning. It means having those habits of shipping, of leading, of putting yourself out there, of doing what you can to trying to produce work that matters and shipping it, putting it out, and being okay with the fact that it might not work out the way that you wanted. But you still got to do the work that you're hiding from, the work that you're meant to do, the work that will leave an impact. That's three things I learned from Seth Godin's book, What to Do When It's Your Turn. Make sure you hit the thumbs up and the subscribe button. And there's a link to the book down in the description below. See you next week.